Well, it's quite a fellowship group Jesus called together there in Matthew. If you look at the gospel, in that short passage, three times he mentions tax collectors, and three times he mentions sinners, and one time he mentions the sick. And that was the huddle that Jesus picked to relate to and to be in fellowship with. And you can think, well, does that sound like your huddle? Does that sound like your family? Does that sound like your church? Different experiences you might have. Jesus is in that huddle with tax collectors, sinners, the sick. And his disciples are there too. Now, it reminds me of one caustic preacher who would yell at the church occasionally and said, just look at yourselves. Who could love such a bunch of sinners except the Lord? Now, that was his way of trying to encourage them. I don't know if it worked or not. We had a tax collector in the church I served up in Erie County in Union City, and he would always get nervous when this passage was read. But we would all say, hey, it's nothing personal, Lyle. The hero of the story rescues the tax collector. So there's hope for you. Jesus, friend of sinners, Jesus in the sinner's huddle. And last week we talked about a huddle being another name for a church or a fellowship, the people you connect with as fellow believers in Christ. And the prophet Zephaniah said that God would, when he really moved in our lives, he would clean our mouths. We would start to call on him together, call on the name of the Lord, that is in prayer. And he would give us shoulder to shoulder service to him. And so that's like a huddle, like togetherness happening that God would give. And a good picture of a New Testament huddle is called the body of Christ or the church. And if you know Christ and you've trusted in him, you're a part of that group. And the Lord wants to help you not only be a part of a big group, but a part of a smaller group where you can actually know and experience the love of Christ among others. If you serve in the military, sometimes there's groups of eight who gather together and they accomplish a lot. They lean on each other, rely on each other. And so the Bible gives us a picture like that of a huddle or a fellowship that's definitely not perfect. It's broken, but it's very blessed. And Jesus is in the middle of that huddle. And so don't miss that for yourself. If you look through the New Testament, there's about 13 churches mentioned with some very specific directions to them. And all of them have major flaws of belief, and all of them have major flaws of behavior. Okay, so I'm not sure the address of where you live, but if someone were to walk by and say, here's a family who believes in Christ, and Christ is the head of that family. However, they have major problems of behavior in there, and they have major problems of belief in there. They would be given a New Testament picture of the church, God's people. And so God gives blessing in spite of the brokenness that is there. There's some things that you might have in your home that would remind you of the different pathways a huddle or a fellowship or a church could steer in the wrong direction about. And the first example might be something we have in our home. Our fireplace doesn't work, and so we purchased a radiator that I think is filled with some kind of heating oil. You plug the thing in, and heat comes out of it. And we stuck it right in front of the fireplace. And it's quite efficient. If you leave it on about 3 hours, it'll be a very warm room. Okay, but the problem with that, it gives no light. I haven't called my family together and said, hey, let's sit here and have a nice radiator side chat. No. Can't replace what's really there. A lot of warmth. Sure, that's nice. No light. No life-changing experience in front of the warm radiator over there. And sometimes fellowships take that path of error. They say, as long as I feel close to somebody, that's good. You know, as long as there's some warmth happening, something good must be happening. Well, you need more than that. You need the real light to come in. The other flaw that any huddle or fellowship or church will take, some of you might identify with if you've purchased something that came out a number of years ago and it's still on sale, probably half price at this point. It is called a DVD fireplace. Okay,
I don't know if any of you have a DVD fireplace. Anybody turning red here? A DVD fireplace is a DVD you stick in your DVD player, and on your TV comes up a fireplace. There it is. And it was invented by a guy who wanted to introduce romance back into his marriage. See, and that was the best he can come up with. And the great thing about a DVD fireplace, if you have one, plenty of light. I mean, it looks like a fireplace, but none of the warmth. None of the warmth at all. And sometimes, as you walk with Christ, and you say, well, give me the truth, and just tell me, you know, what I need to hear, the facts about God, and the truth about God, and that's all I want. And sometimes, you're going to lose the warmth of how God really is when you go in that direction. So, every church in the Bible, and in your own soul, and in the Christians that you fellowship with, you're going to have those times of brokenness where there is going to be not enough light or not enough warmth. And the only solution to those two problems is the person of Christ. Because He is the truth, and He draws people together with His love. God is love, as the Bible has said. And right now, I was going to give you four true stories of fellowships or huddles or churches in the New Testament, and show how they were broken and show how God moved in on them anyway. And I think you'll be able to identify with any particular one of them. Huddle number one actually happened in Jesus' early ministry. As His followers got together, they started to follow Him and spend time together. Occasionally in that huddle, at least on two major occasions, the people started to look at each other and say, hey, this is a good huddle, but I just want everybody to know I'm the greatest one in the huddle. Okay, I'm a little bit more spiritually mature than the other ones, and I'm obviously closest to God at this point. They had conversations like that. Okay, occasionally you're going to have that come across your mind, or perhaps your spouse will when she looks at you. She'll say, I think I'm closer to the Lord. That was a brokenness that they had that Jesus had to deal with. They also said this, I will never leave the Lord. I'm going to stick with Him. Others may do so, but I'm not going to, you know, let the Lord down. They all did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not only Peter, who went away from Christ and denied Him, but all the 12 ran away from Christ when things got really, really difficult. That'll be a source of brokenness in your soul and in the souls of your brothers and sisters in Christ. They also realized they were powerless to face the world's demons on their own. When they looked at evil or sin in their own heart, they said, you know what, this is real, and I cannot change unless a Redeemer comes and changes the direction of my soul. That was a real huddle, and it was the huddle of the Gospels. As those early apostles, that was the apostles' huddle, the best of the best. And Jesus had to walk with them through that. Second huddle was kind of a strong huddle, had a lot of good things going for it, but this is what they realized in their own soul. They say, I've stopped loving the Lord. I do a lot of things well, but in my soul, I've forsaken loving God and responding to His love. Okay, that was a real historical experience. They also fell down spiritually. They used to be close to God, but weren't close to God anymore. Jesus had to tell them, look at the heights from which you have fallen. And the last thing they heard was, I need to turn around and repent. Turn to God and from sin. And this huddle was the huddle at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. And Jesus spoke to them in the book of Revelation. And they were broken, but the Lord was still with them. And He was talking to them. Third huddle said this, I tolerate open sin in the huddle. They said, somebody's sinning? What's the big deal? Doesn't affect me. Well, it did affect them. Okay, and Paul had to say things like, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, when there's a corruption in your soul, that will not only affect your walk with God, but the people around you. It's almost like the flu in the house. I don't know if your house happens in your house. If I get the flu, you can pretty much guarantee the other three are getting the flu also. The sin in your life, or the sin, you know, in the some pew, is going to really affect the rest of the body. So they had to deal with that. They began also valuing being gifted more than Christ's love. He says, it really doesn't matter how you treat people. What matters is, how gifted are you? You know, can you pray? Can you see miracles happen in your life? Can you do you have anything supernatural going on? That's very important. We like the gifted part. The love of Christ, it's not a big deal. The Lord was in the midst. He had to give correction. And they were a part of divisions and factions. It was a natural thing of who's following who type experience. That was the Corinthian huddle. I like to call it the Las Vegas huddle. It was probably the most worldly, okay, in terms of what was going on there. And the fourth huddle, very common also, people started to look for a wisdom higher than Christ. They said, we believe in Christ, but we want something deeper. We want something a little better than Him. He's not quite enough for us. There was a tendency to worship their own mind. Someone said, each of us have a 3.5-pound idol in between our shoulders. Okay, it's the, might say, the theology of Toby Keith. What I think, what I want, what I do, what I like, what I see. Everything, how I think about God is the way it is. As long as I'm sincere, that's good. They started to worship their own mind. The universe doesn't revolve around our brain. God comes in and can help us love Him with our mind. Give us the mind of Christ. God had to correct that. They also liked rules. They thought, if we have enough rules, we'll stay away from sin. And we'll all walk in a nice orderly manner. So they liked rules that said, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Jesus had to tell them, that's really not the way to change a life. If you want to go in that direction. So those were the huddles, broken and disabled, and some of that will be in your soul that God will point out and say, I can give you help for that. Some of that will be in your brothers and sisters around you. Some will be in your home and you'll have to deal with it. And some will be in your fellowship group that God draws you to. He's there. The sinner and the sick are there. And your name is probably after the phrase, the sinner and the sick, because you deal with those problems. Now, how does Jesus respond to those disabilities? And the first one for the apostles, when they were together, you know what the Lord said to them? He said, I will build my church. He didn't say, you 12, you're the biggest mistake I ever made. I'm getting away from you. He said, look, I'm going to work with you, and I'm going to help you know God and follow me. What a Lord to be able to work with that kind of raw material. I like this phrase someone said. When it comes to being connected to Christ, everything connected to Christ is getting better and better. And everything not connected to Christ is getting worse and worse. You might think of the world around you. That's plain. Think of the things in your own life. If you're trying to be a parent with God's wisdom, it's tough, but it'll get better. If you're trying to work on your job without the Lord's leading, it'll get worse and worse. Everything you go through will just like one huge headache. Jesus said, I'll build my church in spite of the brokenness and flaws there. Second huddle, the Ephesians, who had a lot of good things going for them. The Lord was in the midst. He told them, in Ephesians, you are loved, chosen, and forgiven. You are God's workmanship and members of God's household. You start to think of yourself with that truth. That's the truth about you and your brother and sister in Christ. Sign me up for that huddle. I want to be in a huddle where people know they're forgiven and they practice forgiveness, even if I have to practice it 100 times until I start to understand what it's like. It lets us be patient with ourselves because God is not done working with us. Okay, the Lord in the midst to bless in spite of the brokenness. Third huddle, the Las Vegas church, Corinthian church, just kind of a lackadaisical, you know, loud, pizzazzy kind of church.
or huddle that you might be in, Jesus would call us and say, hey, you're the body of Christ. I can use you. You're the body of Christ. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yield to Him. So God bringing help and change into the midst of a lot of unhealth. Fourth huddle. Again, you got the boundaries. You got it. It's all in between my ears. That's the key to what's ever happening. The Lord told that to our soul and to shoulder-to-shoulder fellowship. Hey, you're rescued from sin. And you've been brought into the kingdom of God's Son. I heard a teacher say, as soon as you say Jesus is Lord, you know what we're saying about ourselves. Then we're the servants. If He's Lord, there's only one, then the rest of us are servants. That's a safe calling. I could be a servant, I think. You know, I think you could. And you are complete in Christ. That takes care of the higher wisdom thing. Thank you, guys. A lot of times in the seeking of Bible knowledge, for example, you might be leaning in this direction. You might say, you know, I want to go deeper in the Bible. Or I want to get into the meat of the Word. I mean, I've said that and attempt to do that a little bit in the sermon times and different teachings. When you think of what the deep things of God's Word is I'd like you to think about this and run with it in your own personal life. Is there anything in the Bible deeper than Jesus? Is there anything deeper than Him? I mean, He's infinite. He's the creator of everything. He's omniscient. That is, He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's all powerful. Is there anything in the Bible deeper than Jesus? See, so He's the meat of the Word. And that's why in Colossians, Paul had to say, look, there's completeness in Him. And in Him, everything holds together. So as you desire to be a spiritually mature person, I'd encourage you, go find out as much as you can about Jesus. As much as you can. And surrender your life to Him. Because He's the one who makes a huddle restored and blesses in the midst of the brokenness that's there. And I want to mention just in application three things in a short manner. As you say, well, I am committed to other believers. And I want to be a part of a huddle when I walk with Christ. Three things I think are part of every huddle. Accountability, compassion, and best of all, Christ. Accountability, compassion, and Christ. Accountability means I realize my behavior affects everybody else's health. I had an infection in my toe one time. I said, it's only my baby toe. It happened to be my baby toe. It'll go away, no big deal. You know, you put your Bactine on it or whatever we had it back then. It literally became life-threatening because of the poison that was going up my leg and into the rest of my body. So that had to be dealt with. Accountability. Health in one part. If you have a healthy heart, it'll spread health to the other parts of you. In the movie series Chronicles of Narnia, it's interesting, when the big battles were taking place, if you went to any of those movies, I think in each one there came a critical point where the forces of evil were coming against the forces of good. And somebody in the forces of good yelled out, and everybody cheered after that. He yelled out, "For Aslan and for Narnia." And everybody went, "Whoa." After seeing that the third time, I started to put it together. Aslan, of course, stood for the Lord, and Narnia stood for the people of the kingdom. And he says that our health will be accountable to the Lord and accountable to one another. To say, I want to live my life so that what I do can bring health to the people around me. And that's God's call in our life. You know, I offer a little thing. I know it's... You might say, oh, you're just being nosy.
But church, for example, when you, I have people who call me on a regular basis and say, just want to let you know, I'm not going to be in church because I am. And then they'll say, going to be out of town or going to be in another setting or whatever the case may be. So they're being accountable. They're saying, you know, I'm connected to the folks there and I don't just want to just not be there. Can you put that principle to practice in your life? It's the same principle I'm sure you do at home. Accountability. What you do influences the rest of the body, and it can bring health. Compassion is also in the huddle. The compassion is there. I like the song we sang, everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing, everyone needs forgiveness. And if you know that for your own soul, you'll be able to pass that on to other people. Compassion happens when you realize you're broken, when you realize you don't have it together, and when you realize that your only hope for health is in Christ and His people. That's it. That's why He's the way, the truth, and the life. Compassion happens when you realize you're broken, when you realize you don't have it together, and your only hope for health is Christ and one another. And God could really work when you do that. And remember, you're in Matthew's calling. God called you. You were a tax collector in some manner. You were corrupt. And Jesus meets with you anyway. When you continue to gather, Matthew stayed a tax collector, started to change his behavior. There's still some things in your life that qualify you as a tax collector and sinner. But Jesus is in your huddle anyway. And he will change you. So there's accountability, there's compassion, and the biggest factor, there's Jesus in the huddle. Jesus in the huddle. He's the foundation. All that we have is built on Him. He created us. He's making us who we are as His children. He's the center of all decisions and teaching. Sometimes after I do a teaching, I say, how much did I mention Jesus in that teaching? If I didn't really mention Him, then I should have been given my sermon at a mosque or at a synagogue. So what's the point if He's not the center of a changed life? And all points of our lives can be impacted by, again, the grace and the truth, the light and the heat of who Jesus is. And He really desires that for us. You're in a broken and blessed huddle, wherever you're at. And would you like to continue to meet Jesus there and minister to others there? That's the Lord's calling in your life. Could you do that by the grace of God? And live out what happened to Matthew is really happening to you. You're the sick. And just one final example. When one of my sons broke an arm when he was 3, I said, I'll take him to the emergency room. We got there and the doctor said, which arm is it? You know, it's obvious. It's this one. What part of the arm hurts? Right there. We walk toward the pain. I didn't say his feet are great. We walk toward the pain. And in your huddle, in your brokenness, in your own soul and in your fellowship, would you walk toward the pain? So Jesus can, you'll find Him there, ready to heal that thing up or bring some health to it. He did it for Matthew. He could do it for each one of us. Could we pray together as we close, please? Lord, thank You for calling us to Yourself and to one another. We look at the Bible, Lord, we're so happy about these 13 different churches that You worked with and You honored Yourself through, and it was just tremendous. And here we are. We're just another huddle that Jesus has established, that He's head of the local church. And as we say, whatever brokenness we have, we want to let You deal with it.
And we want to know the blessing of Christ greater than our own sin, as we sang, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. I ask, Father, that each of us would learn to be in the fellowship that is a Bible fellowship that has the elements of this brokenness and blessedness in it. And you would do great ministry because of it. And Jesus, you would, again, show yourself faithful on behalf of your people. Thank you. As you see our problems, you don't run away from us. You move toward us. And this is an amazing thing. So help us to do the same for others and for the lost and broken world around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you please stand?